Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title. History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey sports station.
This hour of afternoons is brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Save 10% on a brand new metal roofing system during their Spring Into Savings event. Visit eastcoastmetalroofing.com for details.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons, we'll get back to your phone calls in just a couple minutes here as there are plenty of you looking to react to that really ugly, not very entertaining, disappointing loss to the Knicks last night, but it is 3 o'clock. As always, that means two things. Ted Johnson's in the house.
Hey, boys. How are we doing?
What's happening?
A lot.
I see you need to crack into a lucky energy to get up to speed here.
I'm ready to go, man.
You got to match it, maybe.
I had an interesting weekend, but it's good to be on with you guys. Last night was interesting. I have so much to say in joining you guys in today's show, so I'm ready to go, man.
And, of course, it's also time for the three-point stance.
118!
118! 118!
Yeah, there you go!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick! And a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three!
WEEI Afternoons.
Before we begin, I know I'm supposed to be the one to keep this on the rails, but snowball's chance in hell of that happening. Teddy, any update on your Garnet Chargers that you were telling us about at the end of last week?
You know, oh boy. The girls, unfortunately, they lost a heartbreaker in the championship game to Ithaca. They beat the storied program of William Smith.
Yeah.
2 days before.
Upset, yeah.
Huge upset, and our girls had beaten Ithaca earlier in the year, but we lost to them by 1 point. They had 9 free position goals. the refereeing was a little suspect, I'd say, but
I believe it.
Unfortunately, 3 of the teams that our girls beat made it to the NCAA tournament, but not our girls. Nope. So
geez,
something
screwed.
Is
the
something
fix
is
right.
So I had some things to say to NCAA D3 on Instagram.
You're fighting with D3 NCAA on Instagram?
I'm not fighting. I'm just making my feelings known. So thank you for asking. They didn't win the championship, but man, those girls played their tails off, and it was a great weekend for me and my family.
Awesome. There you go. Well put across the board. I saw some great photos on Instagram of you holding up signs at the back end of the bleachers saying, why not you?
Got those girls fired up on Friday.
I can only imagine.
They loved that. Yep.
About the happiest flower shirt I've ever seen on YouTube.
I love the shirt too, man.
All right, it is time for the three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, and today's three-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you screw the Union Garnet Chargers out of a playoff spot, you got to get Glassman, and here's what you do. You call all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on some of the biggest stories flowing around the world of sports and sometimes beyond. Each host will receive 60 seconds to present their opening stance on their story of the day, and after each is gone, we'll open up for discussion on the floor. Our order is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Andy, you will lead us off. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
All right, well, your 60 seconds, they begin right now.
So there's plenty of blame to go around from last night's loss for the Celtics. I put some on the poll. Joe Mazzulla, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, you didn't play well, you made bad decisions, all of that. But I think there's another group that was at the Boston Garden last night that didn't hold up their fair share of the bargain. I've been told that the Garden is one of the most electric places in sports right now. Mm-hmm. Postseason at the Garden.
Well, I like where you're going.
Energy is awesome. And then I watch after halftime and I see when the Celtics are struggling and the Knicks are starting to come back, I see a lot of empty seats. It was 3, 4, 5 minutes into the third quarter, and there were literally sections of 10 seats here, 10 seats there, courtside, 2 rows up, 3 rows up, under the basket. All the good seats around the arena are empty. And I know I've seen that in other arenas, but you're Boston. You're better. You're above that. You're supposed to be the best fans in all of sports. I don't know if you're complacent. I don't know if you got stuck in traffic on the way to the concession stand, but you should get your ass. If you're going to criticize Jaylen Brown for a terrible three to open the third quarter, fans, you should at least be in your seat to see that terrible three. If you're going to criticize your team for losing a lead, maybe be out there to add some energy to the arena. Be a force for your team and against the Knicks. Jaylen Brown wasn't good. Jason Tatum wasn't good. But you people, you listening right now, you were not good at doing your job last night.
Well, to be fair to Greg Hill, he has a show to do early in the morning, so he leaves after tip-off.
Hey, nicely done, Stanley.
Yep. I heard it described as awkward silence.
At times.
So terrible. If you want to take on the fans today, Andy?
I'll take them on. We're in a gated building.
that's going to end well.
We have at least one person who can provide muscle in front of you,
I'll
Andy.
Be right behind Ted. Yeah,
I don't know if that's how I'd describe Stiz. Listen, there's a little front runner syndrome with Celtics fans at large, and I think they came expecting dominance. After all, they have tuned into ours and other airwaves and social media and beyond and heard Celtics in four. It was going to be a runaway. This shouldn't even really be a series, and look what they got last night. So maybe both team and fan base got the pop in the chops that they deserve. By the way, Dan Ball, real quick, shout out to our friend John Lyons.
Yeah.
At The Real John Lyons, who's listening right now on the Odyssey app. Thank you, John. And reminded me during our commercial break that it was 2 years ago in the postseason against the Philadelphia 76ers where Jaylen Brown had a similar breakdown, did the exact same thing, collapsed on a defender, and left James Harden wide open for the game-winning three in that game. So it looks very similar. He even just posted it to the socials at The Real John Lyons. So nice looks, Johnny. Appreciate that.
Absolutely. One of the best, one of the brightest that we have floating around our staff here. Fitzy, I'm going to hand it back to you, my friend, and I ask you one question and one question only. Are you ready?
With a little bit of a palate cleanser on this Celtics grousing day, indeed.
Well, then I look forward to your 60 seconds, which start right now.
All right, folks, just taking a brief moment from complaining about the Celtics, Joe Mazzulla, and shot selection last night to talk about easily the most absurd thing I believe I have read in the wide world of sports so far this year. Perhaps done for attention or perhaps because we are collectively losing our minds. I read just hours ago that Ted, somebody who is a Colorado football fan has filed a lawsuit against the National Football League for over $100 million in damages for the, quote, emotional distress that said fan went through while watching Shedeur Sanders fall to the fifth round of the 2025 draft. Said fan writes, in the brief, they are looking for a retraction of the slanderous statements made about Shedeur Sanders, along with an apology for any harm caused to his reputation, implementation of fairer practices in the drafting process to ensure talented players recognized and given opportunities based on merit, and punitive damages in the amount of $100 million for the harm caused to the plaintiff and the impact of the NFL's action on his emotional well-being. Honest to God, sports are supposed to be a release and a retreat and relief and refuge from nonsense and the insanity of the regular world. When it crosses over like this, we don't deserve those sports.
Now, did they get Jeffrey Glassman injury lawyers to help them out?
Then they'd win. If they did that, he'd win.
That's right.
Salino and Barnes, Sokoloff, but of course, Jeffrey Glassman. Thank you very much for sponsoring the three-point stance.
Way to represent. Good job by you guys. Goodness.
All right.
Holy smokes.
Sad day in Boulder, man.
Ted, what's happening to Colorado?
It's kind of like, we've never been the traditional powerhouse. We don't know how to really behave, I don't think, when it comes to that. We had our moments back in the late 80s, early 90s, early 2000s, and we've forgotten how to act, it feels like.
Now you're part of the circus.
Yeah, and it's a shame because you have such a great role model leading from the front in that program right now, too.
I know. That's my point.
Jeez. Jesus.
All right, Ted, let's get to a better point, okay, as in your three-point stance. And I ask you, are you ready?
I'm ready, bub.
All right, your 60-second start right now.
Hit it, Stiz.
Were you satisfied with the shot selection in that second half?
Yeah, I mean, I think for the most part, obviously, over the course of the game, you always can find, you know, 5-10 shots that you want to be better at. But, you know, I thought throughout the night, for the most part, we fought for good looks.
So my three-point stance is basically, with that statement and as the backdrop, going to be about the coaching and Joe Mazzulla. Look, I thought the coaching was bad last night. I really did. And just hearing Joe answer the question about the shots selection that way has me a little bit worried. You know, the denial is not a river in Egypt, right? It's it's a little bit scary kind of what he thought of that game. At halftime, both Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns had three fouls each, yet we weren't attacking at all. We were attacking the rim early in the game with success, but we go away from it in the second half. The pace of that game was way too slow. It was taking too long for the Seas to get into their offensive sets, and they weren't getting good enough shots, in my opinion. Joe thinks he was. I don't think they were. The assists are down, so the ball wasn't moving around the horn to get guys open because they were getting into their sets way too late. They weren't getting back on D. They were switching off. I think it was hurting them. What game plan do you use in this series and in that game? The same game plan you used against the Orlando Magic when you went into the paint time and time again with success and didn't hit as many threes, and you were fine in that series. The Celtics should have used that same game plan, and they didn't.
You know, as the game was going on, I want to get back to the fan argument, but Ted, something was rattling in my ears when you guys talked to Scal. I don't remember which one of you asked the question, do lessons transfer series to series? Are there things in the Orlando series that you think will transfer over to the Knicks series and beyond? And he said, no. He was a big Rafael Devers fan in that moment. Yeah. And I think, Ted, to your point, at least in game one, he was proven correct there.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I remember asking that question, and he didn't think that it translated. And I just like, look, if I'm the New York Knicks, I'm looking at the Orlando Magic series and going, oh, there's a good blueprint for us. Just get up in there in their shorts up on the 3-point line, force mm-hmm. them to be very uncomfortable to get open looks, and really take them out of their rhythm on their 3-point line. And that's how you cause trouble for the Celtics. And the New York Knicks did the same thing. And the Seas should have known that was going to be the case, and they didn't counter. They countered against Orlando. They didn't counter against the New York Knicks. It's like, we're going to stay true to who we are, be damned, and we don't care. Now, they've beaten the New York Knicks doing it their way for a long time in regular season games. The New York Knicks are going to play a different style of game in the playoffs, like most teams do. It becomes more of a half-court game than it is a free-flowing kind of more wide open game like it is in the regular season. So for the Celtics not to adjust and expect the New York Knicks to play them similarly to how Orlando Magic played them is a bit of a head scratcher for me. I just don't get it. So I'm down on the coaching, and I'm just down on that comment from Joe Mazzulla saying like, no, I had no problem with our shot selection. Are you kidding me? Maybe some of those shots were open, but there were four shots. It was the clock was ticking down. And I forget how exactly Scal described it. I think he described it as, what did he say? He goes, the New York Knicks were playing against the clock. And what he meant by that is once you see that 25-second clock ticking down, you can see the effort level raising for the New York Knicks, knowing that they're going to have to take a shot here pretty quick. And so it just ramped up their defense, knowing that they got into their sets late and that they could put pressure on them at the 3-point line. Bad job by Mazzulla and the coaching staff for the Celtics.
So, Ted, I don't know if you heard it earlier, but you are in lockstep with our poll today on WEEI Afternoons, who's most to blame for the loss. 54% of fans agreed with you, Joe Mazzulla, 54%. So
it felt like a game where it's, to me, there was coaching errors. And I felt like just those reasons I gave, I mean, why aren't we attacking Karl-Anthony Towns? Why aren't we attacking Jalen Brunson? They both had three fouls at halftime. Are you kidding me?
And this, I brought it up earlier, they could have used a sprinkling of your guy, Bill Belichick, here. Like, you have a philosophy, you have a game plan, you have a style, you have all these things. And then the game declared itself, and it declared you couldn't hit threes. So why are we still hitting threes? It also declared itself, they built the lead in part because they, for a period of time, started shooting twos, started playing in the paint. My guy JB hit a couple elbow jumpers. They were doing some things to create the lead. And then that all went away, and they went back to shooting just threes in the third quarter.
I think what gave the Celtics a little bit of a false sense of security is They had the lead after the first quarter, only shooting 29% from the field.
Yeah.
They had a lead, a 16-point lead at halftime, by only shooting 44% from the field. It was like, they're like, you know, we could shoot terribly and still blow this team out. So I think that is what led to a malaise to start the third, which is where the, you know, the Knicks can't got back in the game, Fitzy.
So you think that the Celtics may have, I feel like the Celtics definitely got overconfident as the game went on for reasons like that. Like, the, these Knicks can't keep up with them. The lead built up to 8, then it was at 11 and almost at 13 at one point before the half. And I think they went in with an 11-point lead. Like you said, 16. It ballooned up to 16, right. And then it balloons up to 20 in the third quarter. Part of me feels like at that point, Joe Mazzulla didn't just say, like, guys, play smart basketball, protect your lead, get away with the one number that matters the most tonight, 1-0 Celtics in the best of 7. I feel like they wanted to pour it on. I feel like they wanted to just beat the Knicks into submission and just rain fire on them. And that sort of, if that's the in-game or, you know, in-quarter adjustment that he made, it was a poor decision because it backfired brutally on them, and you could see the Knicks' confidence continuing to develop and grow as the quarter progressed.
See, I think saying you want to blow them away is what most people will think, and I used to think that way. I think it's the easy way out. I think shooting threes is a lot easier than grinding out two-pointers from the post and actions off the post and doing ISO two-man games. Shooting threes is just easier. So I always think when I see them shooting a bunch of threes, I'm like, they're taking the easy way out. It's easier, in my opinion, to shoot threes than it is to grind out 2 points in a paint.
That's a very fair point.
The number that jumped out, I saw this from Brian Barrett on Twitter. Second quarter, the Celtics were 12 of 15 shooting 2 points, 80%, 24 points.
Yep.
In the entire second half, 3 for 7. Just under 50%, 6 points on two-pointers in the entire second half. So to the point that you guys are all illustrating, it's wild how much it changed and then did not bounce back.
I also blame my guy for that, JB. He had the comments post-game, we can't just be jacking up threes, and he was part of it. He was part of the success from two in the second quarter in the first half. So do it. You have the ball. You play a role on this team where you have the ball a lot, and I understand the philosophy is shoot threes, but you can also be an athlete and play on the fly, and if you see opportunities, don't just take the threes, JB. So let your actions do more than it's too late if you're talking about it post-game and saying we can't just be jacking up threes. You have the ball. You do your thing in the third and fourth quarter when you have that opportunity on the court.
Before we move on here on our three-point stance, Andy, surprise to no one, it appears we've hit a nerve with the Celtics conversation once again.
Yes, the calls are lining up, so let's go to them. We'll get back to the three-point stance options in a little bit. 617-779-7937. I'm going to go to Patrick in East Hampton. Simply says Mazzulla on the subject line. What are your thoughts on Mazzulla, Patrick?
Yes, hi, guys. I watch you guys every night or every day. Honestly, nothing's going to change with the Celtics. Mazzulla is going to do Mazzulla things. Mazzulla thinks that shooting the three-pointers are going to win us every game. He thinks shooting 60 three-pointers a game, we're not going to miss half of them every game. I understand that. But at the end of the day, there is never an adjustment. There will never be an adjustment. No, everyone wants to say whatever they want after the game, whatever they want. It's not going to change because Mazzulla is going to tell them one thing and they're going to stick to it. It's either we win by the three or we lose by the three.
Thanks for the call, Patrick. And I assume he's watching on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, or maybe YouTube.
Hello, Patrick.
YouTube, too.
Hi, Patrick. Yeah, we're
a lot of people on YouTube, man.
You can see us. You can hear us. You can get us on the Odyssey app. However you want to interact, we're here for you. 617-779-7937. Do you accept that? Because that's where I am. I have accepted that 99% of the time, Joe Mazzulla's Celtics are going to shoot threes. Like, they believe in it, and they believe, as Scal has told us, over a 7-game series, they're going to hit enough of those threes to get 4 wins before the other team can get 4 wins because they don't hit those threes. Like, that's their philosophy.
Yeah, I'm okay if that's like a baseline kind of philosophy and that's kind of your bread and butter. And that's fine to think that way, particularly in the regular season. Again, when you're playing in a 7-game series in the playoffs, it's a different game than what the regular season games are. And so you have to adjust accordingly. You can't play the same freestyle, open, kind of just, you know, chuck them up there style. If they play in the regular season and think it's going to work in the playoffs. That's where I'm like to sit here and say that's their overall philosophy, playoffs and regular season. I think is a mistake. It's fine in the regular season, but not in the playoffs.
978, I think, agrees with you. Celtics personify arrogance.
Oof.
Right?
I thought winning last year would give them, I don't know, a little bit of, you might say, well, that might embolden them to have more arrogance. I thought they would just kind of knew what it took, the fight. Maybe they're just not tested enough. They weren't tested in the playoffs last year. Maybe that's Fitzy, right? Maybe that's part of the problem.
Yes, sir.
They've never really been tested last year, and they've got tested a little bit, I guess, in the first series, but maybe that's the problem, Fitzy. They haven't been tested enough in these playoff runs.
Well, now they just got their lip bloodied in front of everyone at the bar, and we'll see how they respond when they get a chance to come back for a drink tomorrow night, because that was ugly.
More of your reactions to the Celtics' loss to the Knicks up next here on WEEI Afternoons. And we'll also have to mix in Boston Red Sox, because we know, at least for their first game scheduled post Tristan Casas here, new series Rangers, what their solution is. We'll also get Ted Johnson's solution for the first base issue with the Boston Red Sox. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending, including some lacrosse matchups.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Don't say no to me.
Why? Which one do you want?
I'm in control.
You want more Sacred Heart lacrosse? We already learned way too much about them yesterday. All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Prudential Center, located in the heart of Back Bay, features over 70 shops and eateries. Discovery at the center of it all. The Red Sox open up a three-game series against the Texas Rangers tonight at Fenway Park. First pitch is at 6:45. Boston comes into play at 18-18 in second place in the AL East. Lucas Giolito against Nathan Eovaldi is your pitching matchup tonight, and weather permitting, you can listen to the game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcan begins at 5:45 today, and Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo have the call in the booth for the series itself. The Celtics dropped game one of their second round series against the New York Knicks last night at TD Garden. The final was 108-105 in overtime. Boston became the first team in league history to attempt 63 pointers in a playoff game, and their 45 missed threes also set an NBA playoff record. Game two is tomorrow night. Two games on the docket tonight in the NBA. Pacers are at the Cavaliers for a game two. Indy's up 1-0. And in the late game, Warriors are at the Timberwolves for a game one. In hockey news, the Bruins landed the 7th overall pick in the 2025 NHL draft as determined by last night's draft lottery. It was the lowest they could have ended up going into the night. The Islanders, meanwhile, landed the 1st overall pick for the 3rd time in their franchise's history. Two game ones in the NHL scoreboard. Tonight, the Hurricanes are at the Capitals, and in the late game, the Oilers are at the Golden Knights. And finally, from around the NFL, Commanders owner Josh Harris and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said in a press conference that they expect over 1 million people to attend the recent announced 2027 NFL draft in Washington, D.C. Headed to Fenway for the game, park in Prudential Center's garage for just $25 for night and weekend games. Located in the heart of Back Bay, shop, dine, and discover all Prudential Center has to offer, including the View Boston Observation Deck. Just a short walk over to Fenway from the Pru. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
A lot of people saying Sacred Heart has diarrhea.
Now, WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
All right, let's start with this. Okay, the Celtics lost at home. Bizarrely, they're not even that good at home. They're actually a better road team. Knicks fans, I've never seen a game one upset that means less. This is the only game the Knicks are going to win. Boston's not going to miss 45 threes. I know, enjoy the moment, Knicks fans. You are feeling it today. Oh, give me a break.
We'll see. I tend to agree with Colin Cowherd there that this probably will look back on it and say Celtics won the series in 5 or 6 games, but we'll see. Sports have a funny way, you know, of playing out, snowballing. I said to Fitzy earlier, Ted, the end of that game, the very end of the game, when they throw they inbound the ball to Jaylen Brown and Bridges just takes it from him.
Right.
Felt like one of those things. You know what it felt? I'll make a comparison that you'll understand.
Yeah, I heard you.
The Brian Cox hit over the middle where
you
don't know at the time that that's a big deal. You're like, oh, that's a hit. I've seen football before. Hits over the middle happen. Well, at least in that day and age they did. Not as much anymore.
Yeah.
And then later you're like, well, was that like a moment? Did that do something?
Uh-huh.
And the end of this game, I want to put a pin in this. Maybe we revisit it 3 games from now. to see somebody just grab the ball from Jaylen Brown, who's the most jacked dude on your team, who prides himself on being scrappy and sort of a dog and, you know, adding a certain layer to your team, to see the other guy just rip it out of his hands, I don't know. You don't see that too often. And I don't like seeing that too often.
And then toss the ball down the other, like, get this out of here.
As a Jaylen Brown fan and as a Celtics fan, don't care for that very much. But it may mean nothing. They may come out and blow doors and win by 25 tomorrow night, and we'll forget about all this. Who knows? But just, we'll see.
Yeah, it's hard not to kind of, look, seeing this team, what they did last year, all season long this year, just, you know, it's kind of hard to disagree with Collinwood. I'm a little bit, maybe a little bit kind of worried about is, you know, they had one loss last year in the in the opening series to Miami. They had one loss against Cleveland in the second series last year, the playoffs, and then none against the Pacers. But they never lost an opening game in their series in any of the playoffs last year.
Right.
So
feels different. You're trailing.
It feels a little different, right? They're trailing for the first time in a playoff series in the last 2 years, and so and they did it in a fashion that people have always been skeptical about when it comes to this team, and that is just living and dying by the three-point.
And they did it in a fashion that included Jason Tatum not looking like the guy you and I thought we were going to see in love, but looking more like
so that's a good point.
Classic Jason Tatum.
Can I give you one thing early in the game that made where I was like that I'm tired of seeing it from Tatum.
Okay.
And this is in Fitzy. See if you guys agree with this, and all you guys. So you know. Arguing with the refs, it's one thing. I've kind of gotten used to that. I think other stars, players do that. So I kind of sometimes will give him a pass unless he's not getting back on defense. But you ever see him when he thinks he's fouled, they don't call it, and then he, out of frustration, fouls.
Yep.
And he lunges, and then he turns at the ref and is like, man, why didn't you call him a foul on when I was had the ball?
Right.
And it's just is such a... you know, it's like a little kid
it's immature.
Reacting. It is.
You see like it all the time at the high school level, the youth level.
It's just I'm not 100%. Expecting that from my stud franchise player. It's like you didn't call it against me. Watch, I'm going to foul him and see what that does. It's like that was early in the game, Fitzy, and I just didn't like it.
Ted, I also remember, I don't remember exactly when in the game it happened last night, but he does this also a bunch as well. And yeah, I get it, folks. It's easy to pile on the Celtics day because of the way that they played and the disastrous fashion in which they lost or squandered the lead in on their way to losing last night. But he thinks he gets fouled when he's playing defense and the other team scores, and then he takes it out from underneath the hoop, and then he kind of whips it to his teammate or takes it back. And last night he inbounded it, got back to him because he was playing point a lot last night. And as he was dribbling the ball up the court, out of the side of his mouth, he turned to his right and he was bitching to the refs.
Oh yeah,
about what guy? How about just get your head in the way that the court is presenting itself to you, the way the Knicks are setting up defense, and the way you want to attack them, as opposed to how come I didn't get a foul there or why'd that go that way? Like that stuff. I can see why certain people keep Jason Tatum at times at an emotional arm's length because that's borderline infuriating.
You know, I would love to know, and Fitzy, you just said something that made me think is one of the big problems last night was the pace of the game from the Celtics. They weren't in a hurry to get the ball up court and get into their sets and get into their actions. It was like they were too cool for school. And you just mentioned, I would love to know how many minutes were spent on the top ball handlers handling the ball last night, because I would rather Drew Holiday or Derek White do the majority of the ball handling, majority of bringing the ball up. I think they're better at it. I think they're more proficient at it. I think they'll do a better job at it. I just think it's one less thing Tatum has to worry about. If he's bringing the ball up all the time, I just think I don't think it's the best thing for the Celtics offense.
617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Larry in Buzzards Bay. What were your thoughts on that Celtics performance last night, Larry?
Well, I was, until last night, I've been a big fan of Mazzulla, but he must have been watching a different game than I was. When he says that we had good ball movement and got good shots, I didn't see that. Our biggest problem is we didn't have any ball movement. And when we don't have the movement, we got guys standing around the three-point arc waiting for the ball to go up. We're not in position for rebounds. and consequently, the you know, we don't get to score. And also the other thing is we relaxed on defense last night after we got the 20-point lead, and we all know that defense leads to a good offense.
Thanks for the call, Larry.
Great call.
Was that RFK Jr.?
Only 18 assists from the Celtics. You got to have 25-plus. When they're really cooking, their offense is at its best, and the ball is moving around, it's 25 or more assists a game. Only 18 last night.
Yeah, it's like those youth coaches. Wow, one more.
Really?
One more, right? One more pass. One more pass to the open opportunity. Mm-hmm. The other thing to piggyback on Larry's call, defensive-wise, the one thing they did really well was neutralize, deal with, whatever you want to call it, Karl-Anthony Towns.
Oh,
they
please,
had him so frustrated.
Dude,
he was a baby. You talk about
shot
Tatum
on
being
the
a
side
baby?
Line, that shot of him on the sideline, you know, just getting called out of the game was like, oh, how can you let a team with him as the main cog in it beat you?
Yeah. No, they – but the problem is he's a good player. So he could have a game where he plays well. You had a game where you were totally in his shorts, in his head, in his mind, took him out of the game, got him on the bench, and they still won. What happens when he has one of those games where he hits, I don't know, five threes in the first quarter and a half? Like, that could change the game. And your guy, your spacing guy – was having poopy pants or whatever the heck was going on with Porzingis where he couldn't play. So there were aspects of this game.
Their biggest runs, though, came when Big Cat was on the bench.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. But I'm just saying he is an opportunity for them to play differently and still have success. So I just, there's some concerns here. Reminder that it is 2 for Tuesday here on WEEI Afternoons. That means if you are caller number 9 right now to the contest line at 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, courtesy of the Greg Hill Show this morning, you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Braves on May 18th. That's caller number 9 at the contest line, 617-931-0937. You get some tickets to the Sox and Braves on May 18th. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll continue to take your phone calls. And I want to revisit my three-point stance for just a minute, because I want to revisit the crowd. We did get a text that shared a little bit of detail with me as to how that works, but I don't give the excuse. You're the fans. You're the greatest fans in the world, and your team could have used you in the third quarter last night, and where were you? You were getting a hot dog and a soda and a beer at the concession stands. More on that next here on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
If you're going to criticize Jaylen Brown for a terrible three to open the third quarter, fans, you should at least be in your seat to see that terrible three. If you're going to criticize your team for losing a lead, maybe be out there to add some energy to the arena. Be a force for your team and against the Knicks. Jaylen Brown wasn't good. Jason Tatum wasn't good. But you people, you listening right now, you were not good at doing your job last night.
Hear that little oof?
I heard you.
Oof.
Was I wrong?
You know, do the games usually start at 7 o'clock?
Ted's thinking, I got to take photos with people. I go to card shows. I sign autographs.
How can I sit on this fence?
Get your ass in your seats and be. And I don't want to hear that the seats are expensive. You already paid for it.
What about game time? 7 o'clock?
Okay. What else are you doing?
Okay. I mean,
7 o'clock?
Work,
it's not 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's not 5 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock. Okay. And that's no excuse for the third quarter. First quarter, that might be an excuse. A lot of money. So rich people can't be in their seats on time. Rich people don't have watches. They don't know how time works.
Okay.
Rich people. I mean, we're not the Warriors. I know they're trying to emulate the Warriors on the court. Are we the Warriors off the court now, too?
I don't know. I don't have an excuse for it. We did get a texter that said one of the excuses is if you're not there for the opening tip, they make you wait till the next whistle before you can walk down to your seat.
Well, I like that.
The old tip and whistle.
So be there for the first tip.
Before the tip. Yeah.
Like, get your crap together.
I got you.
To me, there is no excuse for it. And I just think I wouldn't care necessarily if it were a different play. Like, all you hear is how other teams want to come to Boston and see the energy and the arena and the crowd.
Let me ask you this, Andy. Do you think the crowd... I mean, we had a caller earlier say it, and it's true. I mean, we have a better record on the road than we do at home.
Yeah.
Do you think the crowd, how they are acting, how they are behaving, impacts how the Celtics play at home?
Not really. I actually think it impacts the opponent. I think the opponent rises to the occasion of the crowd. I think they feed off of that energy a little bit.
So you don't think if you're you don't think there's nervous energy, weird kind of like vibe in the TD Bank sometimes, and the Celtics feel that and get nervous and tense because they feel that tenseness from the crowd?
I hope not.
See, I feel like there's a little bit of that with this team.
So there's a home court disadvantage, you think?
I think at moments there can be. No. I think the team is still not fully developed yet, right? And that makes me a little bit worried.
When are they going to develop? They've won a title. They go to the playoffs every year. They go deep in the playoffs every year, Fitzy. They have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They're making $500 million. Dollars. When exactly do they reach maturity?
That's the thing. We keep talking about them like they're the kids.
They're still making the same mistakes, Fitzy. I just want to pile on and say, you know, they're still doing things they did 4 and 5 years ago, and we've given some examples, Fitzy.
Yeah, but that's not okay.
No.
Right? Like, if you have a kid that's 13 and he does something, you're like, okay, he's 13. When he's 17, you're like, you've been doing this crap for 4 years. It's not okay anymore. Like, the excuses go out the window.
This feels personal.
No, it isn't personal. This is just generalization.
Mine's only 12, so I'm not there yet.
Could teach my son to respond to a text when his father texts him every freaking once in a while.
Maybe when you make buffalo wings in the air fryer, you could actually put it in the sink for a change.
Correct, but that's a side topic for a different day. Okay, so maybe I'm being too critical, but I do think the fans, if they want to claim they are the best fans, then act like the best fans. Don't, and you can give me fans, Boston. If you can give me, because I've watched other games. There's
you and
late
the fans around here. You guys may have to have words.
Well, we credit them for being so smart, so passionate, so this, so that, and then I look around and the first four rows are empty around the court. And don't tell, like, I feel like an athlete, Ted. Correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the only athlete in the room. If you see that, if it feels like a preseason game, or if it feels like the COVID games, and you look over and you're like, doesn't that affect
players? Feel it?
The air, the energy, the environment.
The players feel that. You know what? You don't want to hear them using that as an excuse.
I don't.
But will the thought go through their head? Man, it seems kind of quiet here. Or where is everybody at? It's game. You know, this is a playoffs against New York. Where the thought went in their head and went right back out, and they said, "Well, we're pros and we can't worry about that." But I guarantee you, they had the thought.
And there was a point, Fitzy, where it was like the old Trop. Remember Red Sox games at the Trop, where there'd be like, I don't know, 3,700 people, and you'd be able to literally hear the crowd on the broadcast because it was so quiet. The one guy who's the jackass, you'd hear. That happened sometimes last night at the Garden.
Yeah.
You could hear a guy, about time you blew your whistle. And I'm like, wait, why can I hear one individual dude? This is supposed to be the Garden. It's supposed to be 19,000 people screaming and chanting and MVP and all those things.
I'd like to welcome you to a little place I call Entitled Town, and where people just now expect greatness to be delivered like it's effing DoorDash all the time.
Well, maybe that's it, and maybe they got their eyes open last. Oh, wait, we just lost at home to the Knicks? Oh, they wanted us, and we gave them that effort on the court, off the court, in the stands. Maybe the players got their eyes opened a little bit. Maybe the crowd got their eyes opened a little bit. We'll see. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines. Our buddy Joe in Melrose has some thoughts on that loss for the Celtics last night. What's up, Joe?
Well, I wanted to defend Joe Mazzulla's coaching style. I think Bill Belichick's got us trained because Bill Belichick always said there's two things a coach can do. One, you can say you do what you do and you stop us. Or two, we're going to do game plan specific. And if another coach doesn't do game plan specific, they just do what they do, then everyone around here thinks they're an idiot. So the thing is, in baseball, basseball is just like baseball. It's gone to sabermetrics. So it's baseball, you just get on base, which means if we have a night where everyone just strikes out, the coaches are going to look like an idiot or manager looks like an idiot. Well, basketball, they shoot threes because that's the way you're going to score most points. And occasionally you're going to have a night where you miss threes. And everyone says the coach is an idiot because he kept shooting threes. But eventually over the long run, it's going to work.
Thanks for the call, Joe. Yeah, it wasn't working last night. And I know the mentality, the old cliche is, right, shooters got to shoot. Like, you got to have a short memory. It's like cornerback. You just got to keep shooting. You can't remember that you missed the last nine in a row or whatever it is. But
there's a lot of, make-miss league.
Yeah.
A lot of cliches that support kind of what the C's are doing.
Yeah, but just because you're supposed to keep shooting or that's what you think you need to keep doing doesn't mean that on an occasion, God forbid, it's like, okay, so we don't got it from deep tonight. All right. Oh, wait, look at this. This is the dry erase board. Oh, wait, let me check this. Oh, it's my brain. Oh, and I've been coaching my whole life, and I was designed, made, and trained for, and I was hired for moments like these. as opposed to just, all right, run it up the court, take it down to 3 seconds, boys, and then take a 33-footer. All right, we'll get him next time. No, we won't.
Let me ask you guys this. Do you think the Celtics adjusted to what the Orlando Magic did to them, playing how they played the Seas defensively?
Yeah, I thought they did. I thought they had to, but I thought they did.
Okay. You thought if they did what they do all season long, and then they play Orlando in the first series and just continue that, do you think they would have won that series?
Maybe.
Probably, but it would have been bloodier and longer, Andy.
Because, yeah.
So the
Orlando's
point,
not good.
The point is if you want to have that mentality, we're just going to do what we do. Okay, good luck with that. You might have a bad night shooting, but the odds will say you're going to have – you can have two or three nights in a row of bad shooting. Sure. It doesn't mean – it's just that's a one-off. There's six – they might have two or three more games where their shot is not on.
But they don't believe that because that's where Scal is – close enough to them, and when he says that the Celtics might have one of those games per series, I think that comes from them. They believe that they'll only have one of those per series, and that's how the other team will win. But I'd also say this. I saw on Twitter, Fitzy, somebody compared this to the Falcons in the Super Bowl against the Patriots, where it was like, well, we do what we do. We keep throwing. That's how we got here. I don't believe it. Like, sometimes the game changes. I mean, we've heard of prevent defense for years. Like, you might be a blitzing team, and then you're like, wait, we're up three scores in the fourth quarter. We probably shouldn't blitz because the blitz is the only way they're going to hit big plays and beat us. It's okay to have a philosophy and also change within the confines of the game.
It's a great point, and I think if you said, okay, what is Joe Mazzulla better at? Is he better at making adjustments game after game or in the game? I would say game after game. He's better at. I think his in-game stuff is one of the things that he has a blind spot for. I don't think in game, if he has a plan going into a game, that he can adjust to how they're getting played in game as well as he can maybe game to game or series to series.
617-779-7937. We'll continue to react to this Celtics loss. The blame you're putting on Joe Mazzulla, Jason Tatum, the crowd, everybody else involved with that debacle at the Garden last night. But up next, we are going to touch on the Red Sox because they're going to try to play a game tonight without Tristan Casas at first base. And Alex Cora has talked about Rafi Devers maybe playing at first base. We'll hear that audio and talk about the options for the Red Sox at first base up next here on WEEI Afternoons.